I to you. So this is a topical message on our daily walk. And again, it's really keying in on the God factor, what God part in this and our part towards Him, really. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again tonight for the opportunity to gather around your word. We pray tonight you would help as we preach, that you'd give guidance and leadership and power from on high. We pray for the hearers as they've come from their jobs and work and come from their homes. Pray, God, that they'd be attentive tonight. Help us as we continue to strive and to grow in you, to be rooted in you. We pray that you'd help us as we continue to strive to have a consistent daily walk. Lord, we thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said here a few weeks ago, God has revealed himself, and we know that he wants to reveal himself to us, and he's revealed himself to us through creation. Creation in a general sense. In other words, as you step out the door on any given day and look and see what God has created, God is revealing himself to us. It says there that in Psalm that God is above all, and that he is a God of glory, and that he has revealed himself to us, and he wants to reveal himself to us. When we think about creation, we think about the great creation. I mentioned last week or so about the mountains. As we go to Pikes Peak, or you go to the Rocky Mountains, or wherever you go and you see the beautiful creation that God has created, the seas, and just amazing how God has done those things, the majesty of his creation. I had the opportunity a couple of times to snorkel. I'd like to scuba dive at some point. I hope to do that at some point. But to snorkel and go down and see just hundreds of different colors of fish in the Caribbean. Just amazing. And that happened by accident, by the way. No way. The intricacies of creation and the various colors. And I've said 100 times, God could have created everything in black and white had he wanted to. But God created things in color and made, you know, roast and mashed potatoes taste like they do so we could enjoy it. That tells you how much he loves us, how much he cares for us. And again, about the relationship he would like to have with us. But we think about the beauty of the creation. We think of the variety of creation. We think about the majesty of creation. Had a chance here a few years ago to the Grand Canyon. And pictures do not do the Grand Canyon justice at all. You have to see it in person. And it's just so vast and so humongous. It's amazing. God's creation is amazing. Beautiful, majestic, just mind-boggling sometimes. And so God, through creation, is revealing himself to us. By the way, he's revealing himself to us in that he's a big God and that he is a powerful God and that he is a loving God. As I said, he could have created everything in black and white. He could have made everything taste like, and I can't think of anything I don't like. If I could think of something, I'll let you know in a little bit. But God made just all these things for us because he loves us and he cares for us. God has revealed himself to us. Although God is transcendent, remember we studied that here a couple years ago. That means he is wholly other. There is nothing and no one like him. He is transcendent. And though he is wholly other, he is not off in outer space somewhere by himself and not concerned about us. He's a personal God. He is omniscient in that he knows all things. He's all powerful. By the way, he's omniscient in that he is everywhere at the same time. That makes him here. He's not somewhere where he can't be found. He's not somewhere where he's busy. No, he cares for you tonight. He cares about your situation, cares about my situation, he cares about my life, cares about your life. He is not very far from any of us, the Bible says, there in Acts 17. God is there. He's always at hand. The God of glory, but also the God of grace and the God of goodness. And that we serve a good God. We serve a good God, a gracious God, a loving God. God who reveals himself. God's very nature is that he reveals himself. Y'all hang with me now. God's nature is that he reveals himself. He is, and the Bible uses that word, the God of glory. That term, God of glory, means a God who reveals himself. Have I said that yet? A God who reveals himself. God wants us to know him. It is up to us to determine how much we know him. Now get this so you won't get the message tonight. It's up to us to determine how much of God we have in our life. Everybody with me? So we make that choice. God gave us a free will. And therefore we make the choice. We make the choice to get saved. I'm glad at the age of 6 years old that God convicted me of my sins. The Holy Spirit convicted me of my sins. Understood that Jesus Christ lived, died, and rose again. And I trusted Christ as my personal Savior. And the Holy Spirit came and now He abided in me. Now He abides in me. And I'm glad, I'm thankful for that. And now the life that I have in Christ. But understand that I made that choice after the convicting and even the wooing of the Holy Spirit. Again, God cares. I'm really pushing the point because we're not Calvinists around here. We are not Calvinists. All right? We have a part in that. We have a free will. That's part of being created in His image. Let me make this statement again. It is up to us to determine how much of God that's in our life. How much we seek Him. Now, He sought us. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? That's how much He loves us. That's good stuff. But we also make that choice to seek Him. How we respond to God determines how He responds to us. Again, we have this back and forth. How much or how we respond to God determines how we respond to us. Listen, draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. I'll give you a good illustration of that. We won't read the whole thing, but turn to Acts chapter 10. Some of y'all remember the story of Cornelius. We know that Peter had a trance there, a vision there in chapter 10, and God put him in a dream or in a trance, and he saw a sheet come down from heaven, and on that sheet was various type of animals, all sorts of animals. And God told Peter, he said, go and eat. And Peter said, no, I would never, you know, I'm summarizing now. He said, I haven't eaten anything unclean in my life. And he said, he let the curtain down again. Peter, go eat. He let the curtain down three times. Peter, go and eat. I'm thankful he said, go and eat. Food's come up twice tonight. But Peter goes on and understands, he gets a direction from God. He called and asked Simon and surnamed Peter where he lodged. And while Peter thought on the vision, verse 19, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. And Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and he goes on to describe it, but Cornelius had been praying and fasting to God, seeking light, seeking understanding. He was seeking those things. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. Cornelius was seeking God. Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. You seek God, He'll come back to you. And that's exactly what happened. So God sent Peter to Cornelius' house. He sent we just read where Cornelius sent some servants up to Peter's house, and Peter went to Cornelius' house. Now, the context, and we use that letting down the net or letting down the curtain from heaven and the little animals kind of out of context sometimes, but it's all right. Really, the context of the verse is that Peter was being told by God that he was going to reach the Gentiles. God was going to save the Gentiles, the unclean, if you would. And so he was showing that. You can read the rest of the chapter and it tells you that exactly. And so Peter goes to Cornelius' house, and guess what? He gets to lead Cornelius to the Lord and his house. It's an amazing thing. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came down upon them. It says there in verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, Jews, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost, as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So Cornelius sought God, and God made provision for Cornelius. God rearranged Peter's plans and even Peter's thoughts concerning Gentiles to reach Cornelius and his family. They got saved and they got baptized. Draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. And this goes along with the thought that why we send missionaries around the world. Of course, to fulfill the Great Commission. Amen? But also because there are those who are seeking God. And you may get the opportunity, and one of our missionaries may get the opportunity to be a Peter, like he was to Cornelius. Several years back, some of y'all remember, and I saw where, I think it was Mimi's brother's house burnt down on Facebook. Somebody be in prayer for him. But I'll never forget the first time me and my wife visited Mimi. We had gone in, or we had put off making that visit for 6 or 7 weeks. And we knocked on the door. And for those of you who don't know, Mimi's young lady, married, now has kids. God's blessed them. But her first husband was killed in the war in Afghanistan. And so and remarried some guy, whatever, some bass singer that left us, Billy. And so, but I remember that night going to her home, knocking on the door. She comes to the door, she's crying. I'm telling you, the Lord was in the house before we got there. There's not a doubt in my mind. We put that visit off. Normally we make those visits. First-time visitors, they get visited within a couple of weeks. They hadn't had a visit from our church, 6, 7 weeks. We saw the slip. Me and my wife went by and got to lead her to the Lord that night. And she emailed me, that next day and told me the story of how she had been praying that day and seeking the Lord that day, and we came by. It's amazing. God does those. God does that. You draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. Not just in the area of salvation, but when it comes to having that personal daily walk, that devotional time with the Lord, you draw nigh to Him, and He'll draw nigh to you. Again, we think about not only God's nature is to reveal Himself to us, and those who seek Him, that He will send someone their way. And I'll finish the thought about missionaries. You go to the foreign field. You say, well, what about the guy over in, wherever that's never heard the gospel? Is he going to die and go to hell? The Bible makes it clear, yes. Even though he's never heard, there's only one way to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. If they've never heard, they're still dying to go to hell. That's why we send missionaries. But it's amazing how many missionary stories you can read of where missionaries have gone to the foreign field and gone into some tribe in the middle of nowhere and found out later that they had been seeking God and seeking the Lord in a real way instead of worshiping idols. It's just amazing. You can read many accounts of that. That God will seek them out. Secondly, when it comes to God revealing Himself, we know it's salvation that we receive the Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit, it brings a greater, I will use the word, receptivity. In other words, we get a whole brand new antenna, a way, and that God more distinctly is able to communicate with us because we have the Holy Spirit abiding in us. Everybody with me? He's there to lead us into all truth. He is there to comfort us, to help us, to guide us. And it's wonderful to have the Holy Spirit there. And so when we get saved, not only is God revealing Himself in creation, but when we get saved, we receive this new receptivity, and therefore God reveals Himself even in a better way. In other words, we have greater understanding and can appreciate creation in a greater way. In other words, before you get saved, you don't have the Holy Spirit to help you in those areas. After you get saved, the Holy Spirit's there to lead and guide and direct you and lead you into all truth. And therefore, it gives you greater understanding as to God's creation. God created the heavens and the earth. When I get saved, I just believe that. Amen. I don't question it. I don't think about a gap between verse 2 and verse 1 and verse 2. I don't think about some day-age theory that says, well, preacher, 1,000 years is like a day to live, whatever. And that's true. I mean, in eternity, 1,000, 1 day is nothing to God. But that's not in creation. By the way, God created the heavens and the earth. He created the plants on the third day, created the sun on the fourth day. That means the plants went 1,000 years. According to some, or an age of 1,000,000 years before they had the sun to continue, to bring life there. It's just crazy. There's no day age. There's no gap theory. God created the heavens and the earth in 6 24-hour days. That's it. That's it. 6 days, 24-hour periods. And the morning and the evening were the first day. That's it. He makes it very clear, 24-hour periods. See, when I have the Holy Spirit inside, I don't have to question it. I just believe it by faith. The Holy Spirit gives me the faith to believe it. Though I believe science backs it up as well, and I encourage you to go to ICR's website or go to Creation Evidence Museum in Glen Rose. There's lots of good information to read. I'm looking forward to Noah's Ark being finished up there in Kentucky somewhere by the Genesis group. And there's lots and lots and lots of study and reading that you can do to help you, even if on the even if you want to reason and do some study in that way. Amen? It's not wrong. But I believe it by faith. Amen. Just trusting. I said all that to say we receive an appreciation for creation by way of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. The Holy Spirit opens the door to an active relationship with Him. All right? So think about it now. The Holy Spirit does so much for us, but the Holy Spirit opens the door for an active relationship with Jesus Christ. He opens that door when we accept Him as Savior. And therefore, again, God especially wants to have that relationship with us. The Word of God was given so we can especially encounter God. So we can especially encounter God. This is number three. The Word of God, so number one, God reveals Himself to us. It's God's nature to reveal Himself to us. At salvation, we receive a greater receptivity to have that relationship for God to reveal Himself to us in a greater way. Does that make sense? He's going to reveal to us in a greater way. And number three, God's given His Word to us to especially so that we can especially encounter God, so that we can especially encounter Him. I enjoy singing hymns, and we can sing Amazing Grace, and we can sing all sorts of great songs that have a lot of doctrine and teaching in them. There's great books. You go to my office, you'll see lots of books about the Bible, about Jesus Christ, about Him. And they can help, but the Word of God is not a book. It is the book. And God has given us the book that we might especially encounter Him, that we might get to know Him. The book of God, the Word of God, is unlike any other book in that it is alive. It is alive. The Bible says, Hebrews 4:12, that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Let's turn over there, since we're pretty close anyway. Hebrews chapter 4, familiar passage to most of you, and verse 12. Hebrews 4, I'm going to let you get there. The Word of God is given so that we can especially encounter God, so we can especially have that relationship with Him, that we on our end can come to Him, can learn about Him. And again, there are lots of good books out there about the Lord. I was up here last night with the voting crowd, and the line on the Republican side was very, very long. At 7 o'clock, the line went out the front door, all the way down the sidewalk, all the way past the handicap signs at 7 o'clock. And it was starting to get a little chilly, so me and the judge got him inside and wrapped them all the way over to here in this hallway, and at least got them out of the. It started to get a little chilly, so then we started passing out waters and trying to be nice to them. There was some of them agitated. So there was a guy reading a book, and so I, you know, being a book lover, I wanted to see what he was reading, and I engaged him and said, "Hey, what are you reading?" He was reading a book about being a praying man. It looked like an interesting book, and I asked him a few questions, and I'm sure it's a good book. And I saw the author. I know the author. I know of the author. I don't know him personally, but I know of the author. And it's a good book. And I told him such. I said, "Man, that's a great book, and it's going to be a good read." And listen, we can read about prayer, a book on prayer, but this is the book. This is the book of prayer. This is the authority on prayer, right? So there's a difference between reading a book and reading the book. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is quick, means it's alive and powerful. And the word powerful there is the same Greek word for dynamite. It's powerful. 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 And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You say, well, that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Bible says here that's what the Word of God does. I'm not saying the Holy Spirit doesn't do that as well, but the Word of God is the seed that He plants that the Holy Spirit uses to bring that forth. It's the Word of God that is planted in us. It's like a seed planted in us. And then the Holy Spirit comes by and gives us understanding of what it says, and it brings conviction or it brings comfort. It can do both. I always seem to say it brings conviction. I want to remind you, reading the Word of God and the Holy Spirit can bring comfort and peace and joy, all those things as well. And so remember, the Word of God is quick. It's alive. It's unlike any other book. It is truth. The Word of God is truth. God's words written through men. God used holy men of old, wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. But it's also life. The Word of God is life. It's alive. It's a life within itself. See, what do you mean? Well, we know that a seed is dead. And a seed only comes to life when you put it in the proper soil and you water it, right? The Word of God is not animated as such. It doesn't have, it's this book, this paper and leather case can't speak to me, but it can give me life. You know, a black-eyed pea can't speak to me. Food came up the third time tonight. Some of y'all haven't eaten supper tonight. I had black-eyed peas for lunch. They were very, very good. Not fresh like out of the garden. That would be even better. But they were good. And a black-eyed pea can't speak to me. But a black-eyed pea that I eat will keep me alive and give me life. The Word of God can't, y'all get the point. The paper and the cover can't speak to me. But the words themselves can. The words themselves are a seed. They come in, they're planted, watered, and they give me life. Life. Life is found in the book. You say, well, I've watched a movie and I got inspiration by it. You can get inspiration from any book or whatever, but you can't get life. You can't get life. You can't get eternal life. You can't get spiritual life from a book, only the book. Amen? We preached on this a few Sunday mornings ago. I'm going to go read it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to read the wrong, verse 23. Born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. What is it speaking of? Incorruptible is the Word of God. Incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The seed, the incorruptible seed. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The incorruptible Word of God. It's a seed. It gives life. We, in your lap, is a living book, unlike any other book. Adam, the Bible says that God stooped down in the earth and formed man out of the dirt. So if you can think about God stooping down and forming man out of the dirt, making a sculpture, if you would. That sculpture was dead. The sculpture had no life until God breathed into its nostrils the breath of life. Then man became a living soul. In the same way, mankind is born spiritually dead. And until the Word of God is planted in their heart and in their soul, and it's watered, if you would, by the way of illustration, watered by the Holy Spirit, man is dead. But once the Holy Spirit convicts, once the Holy Spirit comes in and leads into truth, and once that person accepts Christ as Savior, they become a living soul. But it's the Word of God that brings them. It's the Word of God that brings life. There's some wonderfully worded books. I have several in my library that I really enjoy. Some really good ones. But they're all books. Their words do not bring life. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Right? Inspiration. God breathed. Grass does not, again, have self-consciousness, yet as we eat it, it gives us life. Grass, black-eyed peas, helps us. All right. So, God desires to reveal Himself to us. And I'm almost out of time. Number two, this is where we began. It's also up to us to draw close to Him, that we are to draw close to God. And the word that Brother Stewart uses in that book, and I encourage you to get it. I'm basically getting these lessons out of the book called Engaging God. Some of y'all have read it. It says, we can engage God at a much greater level than most Christians realize. All right? So God is trying to reveal Himself to us, reveal Himself through creation, reveals Himself through the Word of God, and His desire is to have a personal relationship with us, each one of us. And listen, we can engage God on a greater level than most of us have ever experienced, and the most of you have ever experienced. That word engage means to attract or to obtain the services of, to draw into. In other words, God meets with the believer while he reads and meditates upon the Word of God. God meets with them as you engage God. In other words, as you sit down in the morning, in the evening, and you begin to read your Bible, and you begin to meditate upon the Scripture, you are engaging God. You are engaging God. God meets with the believer as they open the Word of God. Think about that for a moment. That's huge. That as you open God's Word, He's meeting with you. The Holy Spirit is there helping you, leading you, guiding you. Y'all have heard us state before many times, when the child of God looks into the Word of God and sees the Son of God, he is changed by the Spirit of God into the image of God for the glory of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, now when you look through a glass darkly, but then face to face, it talks about that we look into the mirror of God's Word. And as we look in the mirror of God's Word and we see the reflection of Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit changes us into that same image from glory to glory. In other words, our purpose as we engage God is to see Jesus Christ afresh and new every morning, and then allowing the Holy Spirit to change us into that same image. That is the goal of every Christian, should be the goal of every Christian, that we be conformed, Romans chapter 8, verse 29, that we are predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. And that's what we should desire to do, to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. As we engage God, as we read our Bibles, as we have that daily walk, as we engage God, as we look for Jesus Christ, we'll be changed into that same image. We are children of God. And that the Holy Spirit did this tonight, but the song tonight. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this far. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. You may notice we say brother and sister around here. We used to. We still say brother. I don't know why we don't say sister anymore. When I was in country church, anyway, we used to say sister so-and-so. We just don't know why that tag got lost. But we're brothers and sisters in Christ. If you're saved tonight, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're a part of the family of God. And so think about that for a moment. If we are, and we are a part of the family of God, and Christianity is a relationship, and we're made in the image of Him, therefore having the capacity to fellowship with Him, and that salvation would become a part of God's family, then certainly the Father would desire to have a relationship with us. Think about it again. Think about this. I desire to have a relationship with my kids. Why wouldn't the Heavenly Father have a desire to have a relationship with His kids? He does. That's the point. He desires to have fellowship with you. He desires to have a relationship with you. We're a part of God's family. We are joint heirs with Christ. But don't get the idea that when we become a part of God's family, that we're some babe. Now, I understand spiritually we are, but according to God, we come into God's family as an adult. having all the same, if you would, privileges of an adult child, of an adult son or daughter. I'm not having to wait until I grow up spiritually to have within my grasp or within my reach all the tools that I need to live the Christian life. They're given to me already. Right? Now, if I was a little child, there might be some tools I don't want to give them. There's some things I don't want, you know, a 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 year old getting a hold of. But we come into God's family, our standing is as adult children, adults. And therefore, we have everything that we need to live the Christian life. And God desires to have that fellowship with us. God desires, as a father, to have fellowship with his children. He desires that. Draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. This fellowship should increase as the Holy Spirit draws us closer to him. Thirdly, God's grace is given to us. God reveals himself, we draw nigh to him. Listen, then the application tonight is, God reveals himself to us, we draw nigh to him, and then he enables us and empowers us to live the Christian life. So, he loves us, he enables us, and he empowers us to be like Christ. The Word of God is there, the Bible says in Acts 20, to build us up. This builds us up. It encourages us, it strengthens us. And when grace is manifested in our life, that grace that he gives to us, again, let me go through the thing. God reveals himself. We engage him, have that relationship with him, get saved, have a daily walk, and then he enables us. And the fruit of that enabling, the evidence of that enabling is the fruit. Follow the line now. Very easy. He reveals himself to us, desiring a relationship with us. We draw nigh to him. We get saved. We begin that daily walk. He gives us grace, not just for salvation, but that freely given favor to live the Christian life, that empowering, the strength to live the Christian life, and the evidence that we are walking in grace, the evidence that we're having a daily walk, the evidence that we have a personal fellowship with him is fruit in our life. Fruit in our life. John 15, verse 4 through 5, Jesus said, abide in me and I in you, and you shall bear what? Fruit. Much fruit. More fruit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. There should be fruit in our life. People should look at us and there should be evidence that we've been with Jesus. Not that we glow like Moses, but we should glow from the inside out. They should see a difference in us throughout the week. As we engage God, grace is given to us by way of the Holy Spirit, and therefore we should bear fruit. This is Brother Stewart's quote. To engage God through his word results in an activation of grace within the heart of the Christian. This grace is the difference between outwardly only religion and inwardly based true Christianity. Can I remind you that true Christianity is from the inside out? And there are those who conform outwardly that have never had the change inwardly. And true grace is given to us, enabling us to change from the inside out. Amen? By the way, those who conform outwardly but not inwardly will not stand. They will fall. Right? An oak tree can look very, very nice, but if it's rotten on the inside, the first storm that comes is going to fall over. I'm thanking God that he works on me, and he works on me, and he gives me grace, and he gives me strength, and he gives me comfort, he gives me peace, he gives me joy, and he works on me from the inside out. But it will affect the outside. And Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. There will be evidences that we've been with Jesus. And when you spend time engaging God in the morning, there'll be evidence. To experience the daily bestowing of God's grace is something most Christians have never experienced, but can be if we'll draw nigh to him. I'm saying a great many Christians have never experienced this daily grace on a consistent basis because they've never been consistent in their daily walk. And you could experience God to a greater level than you could ever think or ask by having that daily walk. All right, let's all stand. Hymn 500, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, after we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you do love us and that you are our Father and we are your children. God, your desire for us to have that relationship, help us to engage you. Help us to be consistent in our daily walk in order that you might give us that enabling grace. Help us to bear fruit as we should. We thank you, God, for your grace. We thank you for your comfort and your strength, and that when the storms do come, we can stand the storm. God, we pray for those here tonight who may be facing a storm. God, I pray that you would encourage and strengthen them tonight. We'll thank you for what you'll do in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn 500. As